There we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Power Up at a different time this week. Thank you for being so understanding. Maude and I were just talking about how crazy our days are, which makes sense why there was no sound for so long. Huzzah! Yeah. But welcome. If you're watching this on Geek Bomb, you can pretend that none of that ever happened and this is like at the normal time. But if you're watching it on Twitch, you get the real behind the scenes, huh? Maude, how are you doing today?
So well, the whole time I was muted, I was telling you that I was cleaning food out of my teeth. So there you go. But I've got a really, really massive day and I'll tell you all about it during the playing section. But thank you guys for being accommodating. Thank you so much for tuning in. I can't wait to talk about power.
Yes.
She's always here to help us do things too.
Wait, say that again.
We'll bring in Amy Cassandra Martinez because she's always here to help us out doing power up too.
Yes, we will. Boom. Hi, Amy.
Hi!
How are Yay. You?
Okay, how are y'all?
We're doing our thing.
Playing news.
Yeah, playing news. The Last of Us, part two. Pretty big deal. It's been 7 years since part one was released. There is merch available for pre-order on PlayStation Gear Store. According to IGN, their fastest player finished The Last of Us Part 2 in around 23 hours, which is one less hour than a full day. I know math. And the slowest player spent 42 hours before credits were rolled. There are 13 chapters in total. People were freaking out about it. Some people stayed up really late playing it. What are your thoughts?
I think we've got the wrong set of assets for this one. I think that that's reading at the moment. But you know what? Today is a GD Friday. We all going to just chill out because I've been working all morning. And you know what? Trish has been working all morning and we're trying to do everything. And we are just three women attempting to take over the world. That's all this is. And my lighting's not really there.
It is. Amy, can you succinctly tell us about The Last of Us news one more time?
Yes. So this is The Last of Us Part 2. What you will see on your screen is some merch that you can get for pre-order on PlayStation Gear Store. There's a backpack, there's a shirt, there's some stuff. And that is the poster. Yeah. So 13 chapters in total. And over here you can see two of the leads, of course. Shannon Woodward plays Dina. Ashley Johnson plays Ellie. I remember Dina from Raising Hope on Fox. It was a sitcom.
Okay.
So, yeah. Interesting fun fact. IGN's fastest player took 23 hours to play the whole game, and their slowest player took 42 hours before the credits were rolling. So, yeah, I'd love to hear in the comments below, of course, if you guys are watching this later, how long you think it'll take you, or if you were, like, super game to start playing. Do you like that?
I have an answer. I'm a completionist. So it will always take me as long as it can possibly take a person to beat a game because I have to explore every nook and cranny and try every different possible kind of alternate reality timeline that I can in any given game. Now, that being said, I'm a little terrified to start that. I'm going to start this game. I'm going to stream it on Sunday, I've decided. I'm a little terrified. Because not only is it a scary game, and I don't do very well with scary games, but it also is a game that people have said is just kind of like a beat you down, hard to play through, but feeling like it's necessary for everyone to play it. So I don't know if I'll end up doing a full stream of the entire playthrough of the game. We'll see how Sunday goes. Because, you know, everything going on in the world right now, and especially in the U.S. right now, is already beating you down. So do I really want to jump into a game that's just going to beat me down and make me feel even worse? I don't know. So we'll see how I'm able to handle it.
So many copies of Animal Crossing have been sold.
Right.
It's just the perfect escape. It is like, honestly, a form of meditation for some people. It's just a way to do very little and not have any chaos or any negativity or any, extreme emotions. It's just nice and placid and just chill. I attempted to play The Last of Us. I bought the game when it first came out, and then I actually tried again a couple of months ago on my PlayStation, and I don't think I'm really good at this kind of gameplay. For me, it was a little bit reminiscent of Tomb Raider, where it was like, do you want to just go in there guns blazing? Do you want to hang back? Do you want to try and stealth around? But I noticed with The Last of Us majority, like, you have stealth. You have to walk slow. You can't create noise. You can't have fast movement. And for me, wanting to just be like, ah!
Right.
clickers come up to me and eat sort of like my neck out. And like Tomb Raider, I couldn't stand dying over and over and over again, but I wasn't obviously willing to adapt my gameplay style to accommodate for the game. Right. So I think there was like this one part where it was like underneath a subway and there was a lot of like rubble and debris. It was a really dilapidated sort of building that I had to crawl around all of these clickers. And I couldn't find the exit. And for like 2 hours, I'm going around this grid trying to get out of the room. And because I couldn't, I was like, well, that's me done.
That's frustrating. No, thank you. I played BioShock for the first time like a few days ago, and I was like, ooh, and I was very jumpy. For someone that loves horror movies, I was like, I don't know if I can do
BioShock
it.
And BioShock Infinite are completely like such different games. I actually never really got to play BioShock because of those more horror components. I don't like jump scares in games. I just don't have time for it. My heart, that is, it doesn't have time to beat that fast because I die earlier. But I loved BioShock Infinite. I loved that game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Amy, will you be playing The Last of Us Part 2?
Probably not. Unless people like strongly convince us or me or whoever.
But you love
to
her.
So. I know, but there's something about a game that, like, the fact that
horror. Yeah.
Yeah. Like where something could be right behind you, and you're like, crap. Like in a movie. If someone's behind you, then it's like, it's fine, because then they're going to show you. It's different. But, hey, I would try it. Maybe.
Okay. So, yeah. And, I mean, there's been tons of big gaming news this week. But Last of Us coming out today, the day that we're live streaming this and over the weekend, is probably going to be frontmost on people's minds. So, thank you, Amy, for telling us what's going off. All right.
This Mom, is what we've been playing. All right, we're going to start with me. I have been playing Reality RP. So, as you know, over the weekend, D&D Live 2020 has been happening with a bunch of celebrity D&D games. And, you know, our hands are a little bit tired because usually for D&D Live, you know, it's in an auditorium, it's on stage, it's like a big public event. And that can't happen this year, obviously. But they tried to do everything they could with what they have. And one of those things is kind of like a mafia werewolf kind of game where everyone in the group seems innocent, but one is sabotaging the rest. And you have to find out who that one is. In our instance, it's a cultist. And it's a little bit of a confusing layout. And I don't think even all the players really understand what's happening. But here's the best way to follow along. All of the champions of 10 towns has an Instagram account. Just look up Reality RP and then the names. And then 10 people, obviously, we're all playing the characters. I am Danae Zortel. She is a barkeep. She runs the Lucky Liar in Lonelywood. So obviously she's not the cultist because she's a kick-ass business owner.
Obviously.
What's happening is 10 Towns is obviously a very frozen, desolate place, and there's going to be a really, really long, harsh winter. So everyone from 10 Towns gathered supplies, and we locked them in silos so that we would all be able to kind of survive over the harsh winter. But one night, most of the silos were burnt. There was a big fire, and it was obviously on purpose. So we're trying to figure out who did that. Shoosh. Yeah, right.
I saw a bunch of people in Twitch chat when we first started saying, how did Danae change her hair so fast? So there are definitely people here watching Power Up today that are involved in Reality RP.
Actually, I have to post a story right now for one of the
right
challenges.
Right now. Do it.
Guys, can I tell you about the challenge that I just posted then? We had to do a trial of bards. So yesterday I did a trial of brawn where I had a drink really fast, as I do. But then today we had to do two challenges. One was the trial of artificer. I'm never going to get that word.
Artificer. That's what I would say.
How would you say it?
Just like you did the first time, artificer. Yeah. I don't know if that's real, but that's how I would say it.
Yeah, in my video, I forgot one of the syllables of that word. I think I just said artifice. Anyway, and I built a cocktail using the names of like my favorite D&D spells. But then for the Trial of Bards, they wanted us to perform. So your girl Danae took Maud's favorite karaoke song, rewrote the lyrics to it to fit in with the campaign, and then sang that. And I edited in the subtitles so that people could sing along.
Nice.
I'm just doing a flex, and I can't sing. I did it in one take, but anyway, I just went up. Give it
very
a like.
Very nice. Sprinkles the Dragon Cat in Twitch chat says, "You know what they say: here Danae, gone tomorrow."
Oh, that was a good pun. Oh, that was really good. Oh, I can't believe I haven't even thought of that yet. Maybe I'll do it if I get killed.
There you go. I figured you would appreciate that mod.
I love puns. But yeah, tonight, Friday, there is another live challenge where we'll be accusing everyone. And I actually still have no idea who the F the cultist is, and I really want everyone to help me. It's getting bothersome because the person that I thought it was, you can see in the picture, Garrett there, played by Xanderific. I thought he for sure was the cultist, but he's already been put onto the council of people who decide who the cultist is, therefore is not.
Okay.
And so I had to apologize all morning.
So yeah, so it's like an ARG. If you guys remember, there used to be ARGs all the time. Like Ingress was a really big ARG and had like mystery events that you could go to in real life and stuff like that. So it's cool that that's what Wizards of the Coast is doing. And it's awesome that you're involved with it, Maud.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really interesting. It does involve a lot of social media and following a lot of accounts. So if you're invested, there's a lot there. But if you're kind of a little bit worrisome to get in, yeah, it can be a lot. But yay, thanks for everyone who's giving it a red hot go. What are you playing? What Stream Raiders?
Yeah, so I finished Final Fantasy VII Remake, finally, yes, on stream. Yeah. So I'm sure in the Discord we can go to the spoiler channel and talk about the spoilers. And it's now that I've finished it, it's been really interesting to see people's different takes because Chapter 18, the final chapter of Final Fantasy VII Remake, makes some choices that fans of the original were not necessarily super thrilled with. I am a fan of the original. I actually like the direction they chose to go at the end of it because it makes me more excited for the next chapter in the remake series. And that's all I want to say about it because I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't gotten there. You should be able to go into it like I did without knowing anything. So I'm going to leave that there. And also Stream Raiders, which you see just over there. This is a game that the devs reached out to me and were like, hey, this is a way you can play a game with your viewers on stream in between other games. So like if you're doing something like Hearthstone or Magic the Gathering Online Arena where there's matches and like in between matches or like people who play Apex or, you know, whatever, in between matches, you can play this game. It's a free-to-play browser-based game. So viewers can just open up another tab in their browser to jump in. And we did it one day just to be like, oh, this is like a nice way for us to be together and hang out. And then everyone enjoyed it so much that I did it again this past Wednesday, 2 days ago. And it's something that I think I'll pop into my streams from time to time because people seem to be really enjoying it. And there is a whole Stream Raiders community out there that will jump from streamer to streamer to just keep getting scrolls and coins and like in-game currency and level up and stuff like that. And it was unexpected real good time.
I like that. I like more inclusive games like that because honestly, I just had this yearning where a big part of my childhood was on the same screen playing GoldenEye 64, playing Mario Kart with my brothers. And it was such a couch co-op. For me, it was such a social experience. And right. Then I kind of realized more and more it was a very isolating experience. Yes, you were playing with people online, but you were always by yourself. And it kind of seemed to take the fun out of it in that way. It stopped being sort of like a social thing and started being more of like a, you know, isolation thing. So sure. I kind of like that even though you're on a stream, you're able to kind of bring people in together
right.
more.
Yeah.
I just wish the last local co-op game that I played was Borderlands.
Okay, yeah, Borderlands is great for local co-op. Nate and I have run through a Borderlands together for sure. Sprinkles the Dragon Cat says, last year at TwitchCon, I went to the Stream Raiders booth every day. I didn't even know they had a booth at TwitchCon last year. Like, I totally missed them. I didn't know until the devs just reached out to me a couple weeks ago and were like, hey, you want to try this? And I said, sure. MightyX29 in chat says, Stream Raiders is actually fun. I know. That's how I felt, too.
Yeah.
So it's cool. So thank you to everybody who joins my army when we do that and kicks some major booty on behalf of the Dragon Riders, because that's what we do and it's a good time. So thank you guys for being here today. We all appreciate you so much. And thank you, Amy, for being here. Let's bring Amy back in for Bombs Away Q&A.
Yeah, let's have a little bit of a Q&A. Amy, what do we got question-wise?
So this one is from Patreon, but as always, I will be getting one right now from Twitch after this one. So this one is from Nick Perry. Make sure to go to patreon.com/geekbomb. What locale would you want to visit most from a book, movie, or game? Not the world, a city maybe, or store, or bar, or maybe a particular character's home.
Wow. I mean, in terms of... That's a tough one, isn't it?
I mean, so just super easy for me, Bag End.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go to Bag End, and I'm short enough that I don't think I'd have to duck. Bag End would be great. I'd like to be there every day. R.I.P. Ian Holm, we love and miss you.
I know. So you've been to Bag End. I've been inside the TARDIS. And there was something exhilarating about that. And I think that, you know, I would love to experience being able to be outside of a, you know, police box and then walking in and it just being this massive interior of like a time traveling vessel. That to me would be pretty cool. And I've only had like the fictionalized version of that and it was still legit. So that was a good question, Nick Perry. Have we got a question from Twitch?
Yeah.
Yes, this, I don't, I'm going to try to say this name. Snagkin 2. How do you feel about all the remakes of games? Fun or give me something new?
I'm noticing the remakes happening more in television than games at the moment. I know that we just had a Final Fantasy remake, but I never played the first one, and apparently it's a completely different game.
It's different. Like, it's a lot different.
Like, that's... Link's Awakening, like, I don't think I really played Link's Awakening on the Super Nintendo, so for me that was, like, a really fun game to play, so I haven't really been feeling that lethargic kind of, like, churning out of properties that I played back then. I'm kind of playing them for the first time. But I'm noticing with, like, television properties, they're like, oh, we should do this, and we should give it a sequel, and we should revisit it, and we should... And it's like, I'm kind of wanting a little bit of more originality in terms of watching content.
Yeah, for me, as long as the remake is different enough from the original, and that could be in many different ways. That could be updated graphics, that could be new additions to the storyline. As long as it does provide something new for people who've already played the original, I'm into it. If it's a remake that's just the exact same thing, then why would you even bother making a remake? So it doesn't frustrate me as long as it's done well, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Sweet, that's playing done. Look at us go. Hell yeah.
Woot, woot.
Thanks for everyone who's chatting along live. Thank you for listening to us playing with D&D Live and a bunch of different games that you're playing. The Stream Wars one sounds kind of interesting. What was it called again?
Stream Raiders. Yeah. So your whole community like gets together and then attacks as an army.
Man, as soon as I get a little bit more time and can figure my life out, I want to jump on Twitch again so bad. I just want to play more VGA games. I just have to understand this PC.
I got you. As soon as I can actually come over your house.
Yeah. I got Heroes of Might and Magic 3. Now it crashes all the time. It freezes, so the only thing that I can do is restart. And I tried the little troubleshooting thing, which worked the first time, but now no. Oh,
no.
I just crashed.
Oh, no, you did. You just full on, your PC no-no'd you.
But don't go anywhere. We've got watching, and then after that, some reading. Stick around, guys. Make sure you're subscribing. Make sure you're following Trish on Twitch. We'll be back.
Yes. All right, so thank you guys so much for watching. As always, when we do Power Up, I don't get a chance to give the notifications and shout-outs as they're happening, so I'll do it in between, like, right now. Wolf is the name. I love your Twitch name. Thank you for the follow. Kikin, 81, thank you so much for the resub and the heads up that we had no sound in the beginning. I appreciate you very much. Mistrius, thank you for the follow. And Baralzi, thank you for the resub. And good afternoon to you as well. What do you got there, Maud?
Can't stop eating this candy. I'm addicted. I bought a 2-pound bag of Runts, and I'm just like...
That's not Runts, though. That's something different.
That's Wonka candy.
Oh.
I love them. Sorry.
Sometimes, sometimes you just got to candy it out, you know?
More candy. I know, guys. It's an addiction. It's bad. I don't... Alrighty, we're getting into what we're watching?
Yes, and just before we do that, Maud, why don't you tell everybody who's here watching this live what happens immediately after the show?
Yeah, guys, look, we took on your feedback, and we have a really cool bonus video concept that's happening after Power Up. Trisha and I and Amy and a guest, if they're into it, do a little something called Power Down, and that's when we either tackle some of the cool questions you guys asked during the show but we didn't quite get to. We'll answer them in that, or we'll chat about like some things that maybe we don't want to put out publicly. I mean, last time we did a really fun video with Will Haynes where we all talked about our very first impressions of everyone, and we were super honest.
It was very funny.
We let slip quite a few things. I think some people realized the truth about why I really left. We kind of talked, there was a little bit of an inter-work hookup, a bunch of like salacious tea. So you can catch up in those ones if you jump into Patreon, and it's a $10 higher perk that you get. I think the video was 37 minutes. Even though I was supposed to do about 10 to 15. So.
I know. I don't know about you, but it's because I haven't talked to Will in so long. Well, I was like, there's so much to catch up on.
I know. I miss that kid. So yeah, get involved in that one. And of course, when you join, you can go back and see all the other episodes as well. So we'll get into watching. How are you feeling?
Good. I'm ready to go. Let's do this, Maud. You want to bring us in?
Sure do. What's up? You are watching Power Up. It's an acronym for playing, watching, and reading. And we are up to the watching component of all of these things, where Trisha and I are going to tell you what we are currently watching and whether we want to recommend it. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for subscribing to Geek Bomb and to follow Trish on her Twitch channel. Mm-hmm. Hey there, Trisha. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you? I'm excited to talk about watching because I feel like I've finally gotten a little bit more time to watch TV, so I have some more recommendations.
That's cool. To kick it off, though, we're going to get some What Is Going Off with Amy Cassandra Martinez from Geek Bomb. Follow her along because she is into horror. Thank goodness, because I will not be just taking that one. Hey, darling, what is the news for watching?
I don't know about you guys, but I am a huge fan of Regina King, and she's in this show that a lot of you guys have heard of. It's called Watchmen. So HBO is making all 9 episodes of Watchmen free to watch on their site and free on demand from today. We're live today on June 19th, Juneteenth, all the way until Sunday. Today's Friday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yes, the 21st. First, as part of their offering to highlight Black experiences, voices, and storytellers. Now, this show is a sequel to the comics, but it also works as a sequel to the movie. I've seen the first episode, but I want to know if you guys have seen more. Right now is the time to watch it.
I did. I watched the whole thing.
You did?
Yep. Nice. Watched the whole series. Loved it. Highly recommend.
I've heard nothing but good things. It is absolutely on my to-watch list. This, Doom Patrol... Gosh, what are some of the others? I remember there was a huge list. My thing is that I went back to the things that I love, and it's been so long that I've forgotten it, and I love re-remembering it, watching it. But Watchmen's definitely on my list. I already have. It's on HBO, yeah? I've already got that. Maybe not. Oh, I'm tagging onto an ex's account, so maybe I need to
we'll
get on to that.
We'll see if you still have HBO.
I mean, it's- Free?
Well, I tell free? You what, Maud, if you don't still have HBO, let me know, because you were generous enough to share your Hulu with me. I will share my HBO with you.
Hey, yay, look at that.
And we won't break up, so it's cool.
Yes, good. I like that deal. I'll take care of you, you take care of me. But yeah, definitely want to watch Watchmen. But this time around, actually, when you start, what are you watching at the moment, Trish?
What am I currently watching?
Yeah.
Well, let me go ahead and switch off. Amy, thank you for being here and telling us about Watchmen.
We'll see you for Bums Away Q&A soon.
Yes, we will see you very soon. Hold on 1 second, y'all. I did not have that queued up yet.
if you want.
Transition music. And here we go. There we go. Okay. What is Trisha currently watching? Well, I am definitely watching Queer Eye Season 5. Because as we were talking about in the playing section this week, I think a lot of people just need something that makes them feel happy and positive and hopeful. And Maude, you mentioned that might be why a lot of people are playing or buying Animal Crossing. For me, that release is Queer Eye Season 5. I love it. It is full of feel good. We just want to help empower people to love their lives and be self-sufficient. And they're always wonderful stories. And everybody's just so kind. And especially since it's Pride Month, it's like perfect timing. But Queer Eye is definitely my, like, at the end of the day, especially when it's been a real rough day work-wise or news-wise or whatever, I'm like, you know what? I just want to sit down with a bowl of ice cream and watch Queer Eye. And it makes me so happy.
How many times have you cried?
Oh, my God. So many.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you also watching?
I'm like, just like having the heaves. I haven't started 5 yet. But I think that's where I'm up to. But I actually find it's quite easy to binge. Like, you just kind of watch 2, 3, 4 in a row. And you're like, oh, it just feels like a cuddle from mum, you know?
Yeah, it's wonderful. And season 5 takes place in Philly. So it's really fun for me because that's the area that I grew up in. So when they're like, oh, we're helping out this person in Fishtown. And then we're heading to the, I like know where all those places are. And, like, they're going to different restaurants and hair salons and stuff. And I'm like, oh, man, I bet that's in. Like, so it gets this extra layer. Plus, all of my relatives that live back home have that Philly accent. And I don't really ever get to hear it. So, like, unless I'm talking to somebody on the phone. So, it's been... what does it sound like? You know what? I can't even do a really great one unless I've been home for a little while or I've been talking to people. But there's some things in it that I still slip into when I go home, like the short A sound is bad and mad, not bad and mad.
Hold on, I can't hear the difference. What?
Like, it'll be like, oh man, that's really bad.
Bad.
Yeah, so like it blew my mind in theater school when the teacher was like, bad and mad and sad and glad should all rhyme. Because I was like, what? Because in my mind, they totally did not. And, like, you'd say something was a pain in the ass. But then you're like, oh, it's supposed to be a pain in the ass? Oh, I'm so snooty. Pain in the ass. Because you're used to saying it's a pain in the ass.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a different, yeah, it's a different A sound. But I get very back into my Philly accent either when I've been home for a while or I'm tired or I'm drunk.
When I talked to my family, I was doing it last night. I had a nice big hour-long FaceTime with mum and dad. But I also stumbled across a bunch of old videos. And then in one in 6 years ago, I had created an Elder Scrolls Online character. And I was supposed to be a better-looking version of myself, and I realized I made a character that looked exactly like Taylor Swift. Exactly. And I was like, oh, dear. So I did a video, and I was like, look, I was just online. I was listening to that. I was like, is that what I used to sound like? So now I say online, but then I would say online. Yeah, I was just online. Yeah, it's like,
Yep, that's the Philly is just a lazy mouth. Like a lot of stuff too gets shortened. Like instead of the Philadelphia Inquirer, you say the Philly Inquirer.
Philly Inquirer.
Yeah, the Philly Inquirer. And I forget what else I said that Nate was making fun of me for last night. Cause, one of the episodes is in Norristown, which is actually spelled Norristown, but for me it's Norristown.
They sound the same.
So one is Narstown and one is Norristown.
Right.
But they sound the same when you're talking fast. Cause to me it sounds the same if you're just talking about Norristown.
Okay. I get it now. Yep.
So that's the Philly thing.
Nars is their makeup brand.
Yeah, that's the Philly thing. But anyway, Queer Eye is in Philly, 5th season, so good. Do yourself a favor. It's like giving yourself a big hug at the end of the day. It's really good. And on the opposite end of that spectrum, if you want to educate yourself, and it'll be a hard watch, but if you want to educate yourself, I think it's important that everybody should watch 13th, the documentary on Netflix. It's Ava DuVernay is the filmmaker, and it is so well done. And okay,
is
so,
it DuVernay or DuVernay?
How do you say it? You probably know more than I do.
Ava DuVernay.
Ava DuVernay. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
DuVernay.
DuVernay. There we go. Maude is my go-to, like, hey, entertainment friend, how do I say this? So thank you. But yeah, it's really good. It's a rough watch, but it's really good, and I think everybody should watch it. So highly recommend. What are you watching, Maude?
I'm going back to my safe, happy place, and that is Alias, because J.J. Abrams made an amazing series, and this went on for 5 seasons, and Sydney Bristow is one of my favorite characters of all time, and it is super empowering as a woman because she kicks absolute ass, and the chemistry that she has with Michael Vartan, a.k.a. Vaughn, in the show is just amazing. He was in my dream last night.
Ooh, what kind of chemistry did he have in your dream?
I think he was a ghost. He was a ghost, and he would attract people that were studying necromancy.
Okay. That's what? Cool.
Like, that's just a little idea of what happens in my head. Yeah.
I like it.
School or something, and yeah, he was a ghost, and everyone's like studying from him. But no one cares about dreams. Alias is fantastic. I'm already up to season 4. I have been powering through it. It's what I do every single night to wind down at the moment. So I'm looking for something afterwards because by end of next week, we'll probably have seen it all. But I just think it's brilliant writing in a show. I really, really dig it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yay. I love when you find shows like that. One of the ones for me that I'm like, this show is written so well every time is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yes and no.
The writing on that show. I think it's so funny and witty.
A couple of the sub stories in 2 and 3. They've had 3 seasons, right? Second was Catskills, and then the third.
Yes, 3 seasons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple of times. It's like the majority is really good. I still think the first season's the best.
But then the first season's really good.
Where are we going with this? What's happening? Oh, that's right. The dude, the ex-husband, opens a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not into the plot lines.
The main one, yes, but then like it kind of deviates with some particular stories and secondary characters, and that it feels a little like not thought out so well.
I did not get that impression. So we will agree to disagree. I thought it was very well done, and there are multiple times that my husband and I have to pause it and go, "Oh my god, the writing is so good on this show." And there's not many shows that I watch that we have to like pause to take a. Let's talk about how awesome the writing is on this show, so.
Okay.
Like it a lot.
What should I watch next? I already got it. Yeah, Watchmen.
There you go. Watchmen is the to watch next. I actually never got into Alias. I don't know anything about it. I never even tried, so maybe I'll give that a go if we have some free watching time this week.
I think this is like my third time in 16 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I think like every like five, six years I'll watch it.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. It hasn't dated either. So good. And it kind of gives me Perfect Dark vibes. I don't know if you ever played Perfect Dark on 64.
Yeah, Joanna I know Dark. Perfect Dark.
Yeah, it kind of gives me like Sydney Bristow is kind of like a Perfect Dark, but less sci-fi and there's a bit of alien-esque. Yeah, I've said too much.
All right.
Are you gonna do Bombs Away?
Yeah, that's what Maude and I are watching. Let's get into Bombs Away.
Hi, darling.
Hi. So I will be getting a question from Twitch right now after I read this one. This one is from our Patreon, patreon.com/geekbomb. This one's from Cosmo System.
Yay, thank you.
Yeah. If you had to choose a type of fiction world you would live in, what would it be? Post-apocalypse, dark fantasy, medieval, other?
Okay, so being a woman in the medieval times would just suck. So scratching that out real quick, unless you're noble born, but then you can still get kidnapped for the sake of your title and lands. But if you are under a noble, like nobility, people just claim and take you. If they just take, yeah, it's not a good time.
Not so much fun.
No. So what's dark fantasy? What can we explore that?
Dark fantasy is like Game of Thrones, I would say. Or dark fantasy is like Dark Souls.
Oh, I thought dark fantasy would be like the fairies and the drow in, you know, Menzenberranzen.
I would say fairies and drow are more high fantasy.
That is true. Then I want to live in high fantasy.
What are the other options, Amy, that were in
that? Post-apocalyptic. Again, awful. Yeah. Showers don't happen. You'll never be clean again. All your wounds will get infected.
Is there like a cyberpunk future or some kind of sci-fi future where they have found a cure for everything that ails you and all of that?
There is now.
Thierry's saying it's like Carnival Row. So it's like...
Carnival Row is dark fantasy for sure. Like Lovecraftian is dark fantasy.
Okay. Yeah, it all kind of sucked to be a woman in pretty much all of those. So, cool. Thank you for why I watch Alias.
Hey. Okay, this next question is from Twitch.
Okay.
Catnip Ninja asks, what is something you've watched that you thought was going to be amazing, but you were disappointed?
Netflix Lock and Key.
Disney Plus Artemis Fowl.
I haven't seen Artemis Fowl. Why does it suck?
I had to watch it for Fresh Daily, and everyone was saying how bad it was. I don't know the source material. I never read the book. But Kenneth Branagh isn't doing so well with the CGI-heavy storytelling. It could have been really interesting. Apparently, Artemis Fowl, this 12-year-old kid who's an absolute genius, goes into being a criminal mastermind. And we don't really see that, which is the most interesting plot. Judi Dench is wearing, she's supposed to be like the lead of the fairies. And the outfits that they put her in, I'm like, after seeing her in Cats and then seeing this, I'm like, how are you struggling paying bills? Why are you taking these jobs? And then Josh Gad plays this large dwarf mole man kind of thing where he burrows his way underground by extending his mouth and chewing through the dirt and shitting it out the back and blasting it out of his butthole. So that was a little bit too far. But there were moments with Josh Gad and Judi Dench talking together where they were both making the fun of the fact that they were talking like this the whole time. And I was like, at least they made fun of that because this is the most ridiculous movie.
I see people in chat saying they felt that way about Picard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people saying they felt that way about Picard. I haven't seen Picard yet, so I don't know, but there's a couple of people hard agree on Picard. Oh, so sad. Another one that I felt that way about was The Dark Tower.
Oh, I never watched the movie because I heard so many bad things, but I had to read
the book. You've read the books, right?
Well, just the first
one. Well, if you finish the series of the books, definitely read all of the books before you try to watch the movie. Because the movie... And I know I've said this before, but I felt like the movie was like, let's take the worst part of all of the books and put it together in a movie. And what I mean by worst part is not like the worst things that happen to the characters or anything like that, but like the confusing, weird stuff that doesn't make any sense in the books. Let's only take that part and make a movie out of it. So like you watch the movie and you're like, why is this what they chose to focus on and not the other 90% of the book series, which is what's made it so popular? Like, it just blew my mind.
Can I also add to that Fantastic Beasts? Those two movies were absolute bloody rubbish. They were so bad. Don't center yourself around a character that doesn't even want to be the lead character, you know?
Like, what movie, Mon?
Spotlight. He's just like, I'm just a guy. I just want to do my job. And it's like, no, we're gonna make you the lead of a big adventure. And he's like, please don't. I don't know if I'd like that. Here we go.
Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Muppet Eddie Redmayne. Anyway, I think that it should have been the tale of a young Dumbledore and his love tryst with Grindelwald and how that came to be and why it turned.
That's all why we're all watching Fantastic Beasts anyway, is to find out what happened with Grindelwald and Dumbledore.
I apologize for saying it, but we're all about that Dumble Dick.
What? I am not about the Dumble D. I would say, maybe it's fair to say some people are. I am not, though. Okay, you go.
Anyway. Terrible, terrible, terrible movies. So bad.
All right, well, Amy, thank you for Bombs Away. Thank you for being here and getting the questions. You're an amazing human, and we'll see you soon. All right, Maude, that was a fun conversation about what we were watching, and reading is coming up next, so don't go anywhere. All right. Hi, everybody. I see people in chat saying I agree with Trish and Dark Tower. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I stopped reading the books. I just, too much to do.
All right. Let's see. Yeah, we got reading coming up, and it looks like no more notifications that have gone by unnoticed, so we are good to go. Just a reminder, everybody, there is, if you're looking for additional content after Power Up, there is Power Down on the Geek Bomb Patreon. You could check that out. And yeah, let me just get everything queued up here real quick for reading, and then we'll move on through. Ba-dum-bum-ba. There we go. There we go. That is, yes, that is correct. And then one more. There we go. Okay. And do you need a, you got your snack, Maud? You're sufficiently snacked?
I'm all good now.
Everyone's very excited for the runts. What's your favorite kind of runt, Maud?
Ah, banana and strawberry. Mum, mum, mum.
Banana runts are the best.
Oh, it's telling me that they're so good that they started doing just banana runts. You can just get a bag of only the banana runts.
Can you really?
Banana runt. Banana runt.
Maud, hats off for that. Right now. hats off. That was very well done.
Thank you.
We sing that, not the Banana Runts version, but we sing the Manana version in my house a lot because little dude saw the original Manana video and just thought it was the funniest thing. So now if Nate and I around the house go do 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 do, Logan will go Manana Manana, and we'll do the whole song, and he just thinks it's so funny.
I want kids.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. All right, should we get into reading?
Reading.
Bring us in, Maud.
I'd love to. What's up? You're watching Power Up, and we are on to the last component of the week, reading. Trisha and I are going to tell you what we have been reading lately, but we're also going to get stuck into some reading news, thanks to Amy Cassandra Martinez, where we're going to kick things off with what's going off. Ooh, what is this all about?
Ooh, well, this, you guys, BC and Spotify are coming together. Spotify has entered into an exclusive multi-year deal with Warner Brothers and DC Comics to produce a slate of narrative scripted podcasts. So this will involve using Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and many more. Spotify will also be using more of the broader collection of titles and characters for standalone podcast series, and will collaborate on programming related to an original intellectual property.
That's smart.
Interesting.
That's really smart.
I'm down for that. I would totally listen to that.
There's Podomatic, Stitcher, iTunes. Are they trying to get iTunes? Are they trying to? Where does everyone listen to their podcasts usually? I actually listen to them on Spotify. So
yeah,
I listen on Google Spotify. Podcasts.
Google Podcasts. Interesting. I wonder what Marvel's going to do to step up with this, because this is almost the first thing that DC's decided to branch out first, isn't it? Also, the first thing that I just thought of is how many great voice acting jobs are now going to be out there? And if we're not getting Kevin Conroy as Batman, then what's the point?
If they're not getting Mark Hamill as Joker, then what's the point?
What's the point? that sounds really cool, though, because it's like, why would you read a comic book when you can listen to the story?
It's true.
That's cool. I'm digging that.
Yeah, I think it's super cool. I have not been listening to any audiobooks or podcasts because my time to do that is when I'm driving in my car and we're all at home.
Yeah, dang. I do it walking the dog, but I've got a walker a few times a day.
But yeah, I live outside of LA. I'm in the suburbs of LA. So normally whenever I have to go to set for anything, it's a fairly long drive. So, you know, if I'm looking at 2.5 hours on the road each way to and from, that's 5 hours. Only one of my jobs. Well, two of my jobs are that far. But yeah, then that's like 5 hours that day that I could be listening to a cool DC Comics podcast, scripted narrative podcast. podcast. That would be awesome. That's usually how I burn through books. It's funny, since we've been doing Power Up in quarantine, I don't have as much stuff that I'm reading because I listen to stuff on the road. That's my reading time, if you will. So I'm going into the deep recesses of Trisha's reading repertoire while we're in quarantine.
We've got a really great comment by the Catnip Ninja saying, new show segment, what's the point? I like it. And Nathan says that Marvel has a Wolverine podcast. So, you know, cool. The more you know. And now I know.
Yeah, cool. I didn't know that. That's very cool.
Who would you like to voice out of all the superhero characters? And Amy, I'm extending that to you.
Ooh, do you have an answer, cool. Amy?
Like who I would want to voice?
Who would you want to voice? Yeah.
America Chavez.
Who's that?
She is, I don't think she's as well known, but she's Latinx, and I think it'd be really cool to do that.
That's very cool.
Yeah, or even someone from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I feel like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, obviously has a lot of, you associate certain people with it.
Yeah.
So I think that that would be a little bit more difficult. But I think, that would be really cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Trisha, who would you want to voice?
Probably Batgirl. I would love to say Catwoman, but I don't think my voice naturally is deep or sexy enough to be Selena Kyle. So, yeah, maybe a Batgirl. What about you, Maude?
Have a guess. Just one guess.
Yeah, you'd be a great Harley.
Okay. I was like, I got it.
I also am like, wouldn't it be cool?
I wouldn't mind also voicing a British character or someone who has authority.
Yeah.
Maybe someone
wants to run the ship. That could be really cool as
Maybe
well.
Like a Barbara. Barbara Gordon's not British, but I would totally be down to do a Barbara Gordon too.
Nice. Yeah, I'd want to do like one really zany, but then one really kind of like serious.
Yeah, Poison Ivy's awesome. Again, I don't think I have a sexy enough voice to be Poison Ivy.
What's your sexy voice, Trisha?
Huh?
What's your sexy voice?
I couldn't do it with video because I would just laugh and be embarrassed. I would have to, like, do it with my video turned off and then let you hear it that way. I don't know. I don't know about you, but, like, when you're in a voiceover booth, I feel like you can be a lot more creative because you're not worried about people watching the weird faces that you're making in the moment.
Man, I signed the biggest NDA, and I would love to talk about it right now, but I never can.
Nope.
But,
voiceover.
It was so good.
Yay.
It was so good. It was so good.
I think I remember you posting, like, in the voiceover booth today, really excited.
No.
No? I thought I remembered you posting something, or maybe it was just, like, a picture of you in a booth.
That may have been for another VO job. I've been doing quite a few, actually, at the moment. I need to post and show you guys the AI character that I've voiced.
Ooh.
Kara, I think her name is. She doesn't look anything like me. But she's like, hi, welcome. I'd like to help you. What can we do today?
Oh, that's cool.
That was fun.
It's that accent. Everybody here is like, oh, man, accent? That means she knows what she's doing.
She knows what's up. I need to do more voiceover stuff, actually. But anyway, cool. Thanks for the question, Amy. Really appreciate that. Well, let's get stuck into what we're reading, Trisha.
Perfect. What you reading, Maude?
I'm reading the shit book. And I wanted to talk about this one because I'm not loving it. I have loved all of Sarah J. Maas's books so far. I have talked about them before. The first one was the Throne of Glass series that I am rereading. I'm on book 5 for that already, but I've already mentioned it in Power Up. She's done another series, which was the A Court of Thorn and Roses, which again was a series that I really, really loved. She delves in sort of high fantasy where, you know, it's like, the courts of the land, a lot of magic users. Fae is a really big component of them at all. They live for centuries. There's big wars. And I think that she's really good at those. With this one, Crescent City, this series moves into a contemporary fantasy setting. And I feel like Sarah J. Maas has no idea what a 21-year-old college student actually looks and sounds like. Because in this instance, the protagonist is just, there's a, I mean, drink every time they swear. And they just swear for like no real reason. And it's kind of disruptive. And maybe it's because I'm listening to the audiobook and it doesn't sound as natural, but it just feels like it's trying so hard. And I'm, I think, a quarter or a third of the way through the book. And I just don't care, which is so upsetting because her other two series are so good that I'm reading one of them for the second time through.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, my advice with Sarah J. Maas is just stick to the good stuff. Stick to the high fantasy. She writes really good, like, love characters, you know, strong relationships. She goes a little bit too hard with that. She has this thing where, you know, you get a mate, which is kind of like in Twilight, where they have the, what is it, bonding, where they imprint. It's a little bit like that, where it's like, they're not just my lover, they're not just my boyfriend, they're not my partner, they're my mate. And that means they're bonded for life. So that's a little bit, but... overall, I really like those two series. I just don't know if I'll finish this one. And I wanted to air my grievances on this show.
There you go. I love it. I love the honesty. Are you certain that it's the writing and not the delivery of the audiobook?
No, because it's the same narrator who has narrated all the other ones.
Oh, really, for sure.
I really like her. It's 100% her trying to have a contemporary setting. But using, so it's like, it's kind of like choose your own. That's got the houses and courts again. So it's like you could be a shadow user and you're in this particular court. You can be a fae. You could be a werewolf. You could be a vampire. So you have all of these things, but it's set in a contemporary world. And it doesn't work.
It's not doing it for you.
Nope. Which is such a bummer because, like I said, the other two are so good.
Are you going to finish it?
No. Lauren, okay. Who's actually in Geek Bomb's book club and after show, says Crescent City is definitely more like an urban fantasy and beginning is very info dumpy. It is. And I guess I'm still in the that info dumpy space where it's like everything's an aside. This is happening. And what that means is this. And it's just like it's not simplified at all. And yeah, I mean, if you recommend continuing through it, let me know. We'll chat about it on it.
I Hill says I loved it overall. So winning endorsement.
Oh, that's L Hill. That's who I, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, L Hill. Sorry. Yes.
That's all good.
Yes.
What about you? What have you got? Oh, what is this?
So this is, you might know this author, Maude. So this is Naming Your Little Geek by a friend of mine named Scott Rubin. Now, Scott used to be on a show on Geek and Sundry with me called Brick Bottles and on a show called Hero Clicks. And he's friends with Hector and he's friends with a lot of the Geek and Sundry folks. And anyway, he had a tiny human before I had a tiny human and would sometimes bring his tiny human to Brick Bottles to play Legos with the adults who got paid to play with Legos. Thank you, Geek and Sundry. That's what Brick Battles was. It was awesome. But anyway, Scott reached out to me when I was pregnant with my tiny human, asking me if I would like to see some excerpts from the book he was writing. And I was like, what book are you writing, Scott? And he's like, I'm putting together almost like a name dictionary for kid names, but what their nerdy affiliations are. So you could look up Luke and see all the different references of Luke throughout fantasy, fiction, all different, whether it be video games, literature, science, and kind of go through alphabetically and pick names based on their cool, nerdy affiliation. And so, of course, I was like, yes, here are the four names I can't decide between. Tell me more. And so I gave him four names, and he gave me back like a huge paragraph on each one. And he said, you know, would you mind like throwing out a little endorsement or something when I publish the book? And I said, yes, of course, because it legit helped us choose our child's name. Like, I think this is an awesome book. And it's now sold on Amazon. It's out now.
Is it a secret what the other names were?
One of them that I've talked about publicly before is Luke.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, it was between Luke and Logan. Well, it was between Luke, Logan, and Parker. When we got to the hospital.
Trisha!
Yeah, it was between Luke, Logan, and Parker when we got to the hospital. And we looked, and we were like, well, we'll wait till we meet him before we know. But we looked at him right away and said, he's not a Parker. But we were having a hard time deciding between Luke and Logan. But those were the three that made it into, like, the final cut. But Scott and his research was super helpful in that. And so I love that he has this book. And, like, I don't know if any of you out there know someone who is currently incubating a tiny human, or you and your family are. There are so many very, very boring baby name guides.
Yeah.
And books and just stuff that it's like a total slog to go through. And I do think that a lot of people of our generation are like, I want to name my kids something that has meaning to me. And maybe meaning in a world or a piece of fiction that I absolutely adore. And I want that name to carry that meaning, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that it's something that's very timely. And good.
This is the thing. Like, I've already picked my child's name, and it's a nerdy girl name. But and I've already called my dog Zelda. I do read this really, really blunt screen cap of Gen Zs on TikTok and how they describe millennials.
Okay.
It was basically like just a checklist of Maud. And so they were like, oh, yeah, I'm a millennial. I'm still obsessed with my Harry Potter house. And that really defines me. And I get so upset if someone gets it wrong. Oh, I'm a millennial. I'm just sitting here in my one bedroom house with my kid named after a geeky character. And I was like, ow, bitch. Like, what?
Whatever. The only thing I hear bad about that is the, like, dumb voice. Other than that, I think that's high praise. And yes, you've got your one-bedroom house and your child named after a cool fictional character. And yes, you know your Harry Potter life because it inspires you. Like, I would give it all, like, hell yeah voice, not like, voice.
We were getting mocked ruthlessly about those things. And I was just like, okay, maybe I'm, what is it? Okay.
I don't know why this is my name for people that are super mean. I don't know why that's my voice. And
I like that.
Right?
Like
just that. Hands. I don't know. But yeah, I just think it's all in the delivery. So you do you. And don't let Gen Z people trying to hate on millennials affect how you're doing.
Don't say that I'm in Slytherin, otherwise it will wreck my day. You know, it's just the little things. It's just the little things. Are we going to get Amy back for some Bombs Away Q&A?
Yes. Welcome back, Amy.
Amy, hi, guys.
And what are you naming your kids after which geeky character?
Oh, right. Okay, well, this question is from Patreon, patreon.com/geekbomb. And I will be getting one from Twitch as well. This one's from Steven Summers. If you had to have a time-traveling house guest live with you for a full year with one, which one would you choose? Okay, there are four options.
Yep.
Yourself in your early 20s, yourself in your early 50s, your parents in their early 20s, or your children in their early 20s.
Whoa!
Oh, man.
I think you want to live with 50-year-old Maud and just be like, what are all the things that you regret not doing so that I can do them in the next 20 years?
That's a good one. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't choose myself in my 20s. Myself in my early 20s was like trying to hold down a two-bedroom apartment with three other girls. And that's what I did, yeah, when I first moved to LA. Four girls in a two-bedroom, two baths. So we each shared our bedroom and our bathroom with one other person. It was the only way I could make LA rent work. But yeah, trying to get a job, trying to keep that kind of crazy lifestyle and clubbing all the time. Yes, I would not want to live with myself in my early 20s. Yeah, definitely.
20-year-old Maud would throw up on me at some stage and I would be so furious at her and I'd probably smack her and then she'd probably try to, I don't know, use some sort of litigation because she was a brat.
Yeah, not definitely not me in my 20s. I agree with you. Self in early 50s would probably be very cool. For me, that's what I'm like. By the time I hit my early 50s, Logan will be grown and not might even be out of the house. So, like, what does me look like at that point? That would be interesting. But I think I'm more intrigued by my parents in their early 20s. Because at least my mom in her early 20s was, like, settling down and starting a family and doing the young mom thing. My dad was a little bit older than that. And my dad would be crazy in his early 20s. I don't know that I'd want my dad in his early 20s. But my mom in her early 20s would probably be not too far life-wise from where Nate and I are currently.
Wow.
So that would be interesting. Or your children in their early 20s? That's so hard, too. I can't wait to see what Logan's like in his early 20s.
I would not want my children in their early 20s when I'm this age. No, that would be so weird. I think that my parents went out when they were 18. If I were living with my parents when they were in their early 20s, I would be parenting them. Mm. And I'd be like, be quieter at night.
No. Okay, this next question.
Sex, Jimmy, they would be having lots of sex.
No, I got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. This next question is from, where'd it go? STS2884. How has your hair been holding up since quarantine?
Yeah, well.
I'm a brunette.
It looks good. Not a suit. Not a brunette like me, brunette, though.
No. Mm. No, it's a dark, it's still a dark blonde. But I mean, like, it's out to there.
STS says, I only ask because it looks great.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, STS. Mine, so you know I did like fun colors underneath before.
Yeah, I can see them.
And well, I have been overtoning the crap out of the underside of my hair. Because in order to get the cool colors before, they had to like lighten that part of my hair underneath so that it would hold color. So it was like fading to this weird brownie orange lightened color. So I've been covering it over with blue and purple overtone like once a week on my own to try to make it so you can't see like that orangey brown color, which I'm covering it up, but I don't think that you can really still see the color anymore. It's just whatever. At this point, I'm just in survival mode. Like, get me through until I can get to a professional again. And like, I have no nails, although, yeah, I did just order the stuff that I would need to do UV nails at home. I might try it, and it could look awful. I'm probably going to try to...
You're more of a perfectionist than I am. I have that at home, and it, for me, feels straight off. But I have been using the glue-on and stick-on nails, and they've been amazing.
Oh, I hate those. No, I feel like every time I type, those pop right off. Like, if you're spending a day typing a bunch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm on my computer 24/7. That's why I like the gels, because they're, like, harder. So they'll withstand clickety-clackety-ing all day. but yeah, I'm going to try that. And I also ordered everything I need to cut Logan's hair.
Oh, dear.
Because his hair is like emo kid hair right now. And so I'm gonna try to corn cut it this afternoon, I think.
You'll do great. You'll do great. It'll never be as bad as the time when my mom cut my hair from here to here and I hated it. So... Yeah, no, you're fine.
My hair was always really long, and I remember when I was little, my mom taking a piece of scotch tape, like a long piece of scotch tape, and taping it across my hair in the back, and then just cutting across the top of the scotch tape. But my hair was, like, down to my butt, so, like, a blunt cut when your hair's down your butt is not the end of the world. But then the tape held all the hair, and she could just throw it out, so it didn't make a mess. Like, it was kind of ingenious, but that was my haircut for... years, probably until junior or senior year of high school, when I actually went and got my haircut somewhere and it was like shaped at the bottom and I was like, oh, what is this? Oh my god, I never knew. But I was a nerdy kid, so nobody cared. Nobody cared. Thank you all so much for your questions. Thank you, Amy, for going through and getting questions from Geek Bum and from Twitch. You guys are awesome. Oh, I see people in chat. You see the bowl cut comments in chat? So many people saying their parents gave them bowl cuts. I'm so sorry.
Ooh.
That's not fun. There's one from Anthony Daniels' account saying, why are you such an icon, Trisha? So maybe we'll answer that in Power Down.
I don't even know what that means, but thank you. I mean, I'm nerd mom and it hard. So if that's your definition of icon, that's where I'm living right now.
Thank you guys so much for joining us for our Power Up edition of This Big Word. Trisha and I talk about what we're currently playing, watching, reading. Amy Cassandra Martinez, thank you so much for joining us to do Bombs Away and delivering the news. Guys, if you want to follow her, at Amy Cassandra MTZ, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
There you go. We are going to be shooting some Power Down. And if you want to get in on that, patreon.com/geekbomb. It's a perk for $10 and more. We'll be doing that at the end of every single episode. If you guys don't want to miss any of these episodes because you may have just been tuning in at the end, we'll be doing all of these VOD on Geek Bomb's YouTube channel. If you haven't hit the follow button, do it. If you feel generous, give it a subscribe right now because we'll read out and shout out to you guys when we press stop record here. But thank you again. We'll be back next week with an amazing guest. I can't wait. It'll be amazing.
It's going to be fun.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Thank you for watching, everybody. Be kind, stay safe, spread positivity throughout the entire world. And yeah, we'll see you soon. For those of you who are here watching live on the Twitch, the next time I will be live is Sunday morning playing The Last of Us, either at 10 or 10:30 a.m., depending how the morning is going. Thank you to Exuvia for the sub, saying you all have great hair. You're very kind, and I appreciate you. Thank you so much. And just a reminder, too, I know I don't have it up because we're recording Power Up, but all through the month of June, we're raising money on this Twitch channel for I Need Diverse Games. Which is a great organization that supports all different types of marginalized folks in both video and tabletop games. So it's Pride Month. The Black Lives Matter protest is going strong. I felt like it was a great organization that can kind of support and build everybody up. So all of the love, so much love. And when we hit our next milestone in the fundraising, I'm giving away an E3 2019 press exclusive Dying Light 2 statue. So whoa. Get on it. Get on it. Okay, thank you so much for watching. Ma, do you have any other announcements before we go? Sauerbrunt?
It's the green one. At 4:30, around 4:30, I think, today, if you guys are at around the D&D Twitch stream, I'll be there as Danae. And I would love your support.
Perfect. Tune in, everybody. Have a great rest of your day. And yeah, we'll see you next Friday with more Power Up or Sunday morning. Or actually have a Naked Truth on YouTube tomorrow, too. So lots of different ways. Join the Discord, and you can figure out everything that's going on. And join the Geek Bomb Discord as well. All right.
Yeah, we have a pass for free, too. So get involved.
Yay. Bye, everybody. Thank you.